Now let's talk about the proposal of protecting the tall grass prairie. The federal government decided in the 1930s that the land needed to be protected. In fact, Interior Secretary Stuart Udall visited the area in 1961. What happened at that visit?
Well, I wasn't a part of that, but we need to go back before that. As Jink said, we have almost 400 different types of landforms protected by the National Park Service umbrella. We have national forests, we have national seashores, national rivers, lakes, deserts, you name it. The tallgrass prairie was considered the missing link in the National Park Service system, and it was a goal of the federal government and the nation's major conservation organizations to establish a tallgrass prairie park. The simple fact was the land was too valuable. You look at the land that's included in the National Park Service system, and it's generally land that homesteaders didn't want. They very much coveted the tallgrass prairie because it was a very fertile, productive, temperate landform. So since the 30s, the Park Service and the other conservation organizations wanted to see this happen. Those efforts initially were in the Flint Hills of Kansas. And Stuart Udall, you mentioned, I've read about it. They were met by armed Kansans and said, "You're not going to do this here." You've got to remember, in Oklahoma, we have a lot of lakes, and we have a lot of land that was condemned by the federal government for the Corps of Engineers to make lakes. My great-grandfather was in the land run you mentioned earlier in 1891, so my family's ranched in Oklahoma since 1891. And the land that he bought in 1917 in Kay County was condemned. Much of it was condemned. Where my father was born and raised was condemned for the Kaw Dam. So there was a very strong local sentiment against condemnation. And you mentioned Stuart Udall's trip in the 60s where he was met by ranchers with guns saying, "You're not going to do this here." And then in the early 70s, there was a proposal that was talked about. I didn't see anything in writing, but was talked about to condemn 300 to 350,000 acres in northern Oklahoma and southeastern Kansas to establish a tallgrass prairie national park. People were fed up with condemnation. They were very against federal ownership of land. And when this idea came up, it was very, very unpopular. So then in 1984, an effort began in Osage County to establish a tallgrass prairie preserve. People had been against this idea for all their life, and they were opposed to it. The local newspaper editor called me. I was practicing law in Pawhuska. He said, "What do you think about this?" And I said, "I'm opposed to it." He said, "Why?" I said, "Well, I didn't want to say because I'd always been opposed to it." So I said, "We'll lose our tax base." So he put that on the front page of the paper. And in 1984, Senator Nichols established a task force to look into this prairie preserve idea. I was asked to serve on that task force. And a representative from Audubon tried to get me kicked off because he said I was put on there to kill it. So this task force was appointed by the interested parties. The task force, after looking into it for about a year, unanimously recommended to establish a tallgrass prairie national preserve.
The Osages living there were very distrustful of this as well. I mean, what would happen to their mineral rights?
Yeah, well, most Osages don't live in Osage County. Most Osages don't even live in Oklahoma. Most Osages live in California, Arizona, Colorado, or New Mexico. So their only connection with Osage County is a quarterly headright check that they got for their royalty interest. They basically own all the minerals in Osage County. They didn't want to do anything to disrupt that. The minerals were produced under regulations established by the Bureau of Indian Affairs. They did not want the more restrictive Park Service regulations. The oil and gas producers were strongly opposed to it. They didn't want more red tape. The ranchers were opposed to it. So it was a very unpopular idea. You mentioned Frederick Drummond. When I first introduced John Flicker, who was a vice president with the Nature Conservancy and went on to become president of Audubon for a long time, when I first introduced him to Frederick, Frederick tapped him on the chest and said, "We killed this in Kansas, and by God, we'll kill it here." That's how Frederick started out. Frederick wound up making the motion for the Nature Conservancy to do this. So there was a complete change in Frederick's thinking. There was a complete change in my thinking. And there has been a complete change in most of the people in Osage County and the surrounding area.
What did happen to the mineral rights of the Osages?
Untouched. They're held in perpetuity in trust by the federal government for the Osages.
But there's no discovery going on.
Oh, yes, there is. There's been a lot of drilling the last few years, a lot of horizontal drilling, horizontal wells. A number of new wells have been drilled on the preserve.
There's slightly over 100 producing wells on the preserve.
Actually, it's grown to about 150. When we got it, it was 107. So we've had about 43 wells drilled on the preserve.
They're good operating wells.
Well, good's a relative term. We had several horizontal wells drilled on the preserve. None of them are in production now. They've all played out.
How many do you think are operating today?
How many wells are operating on the preserve? My estimate would be 140.
Some of the older wells over in the Presonia area where there wasn't much play left, they have cleaned out a lot of those wells, the old pump houses, shotgun houses, and so on that were all part of that oil play. So there has been some restoration of the land there, plus restoration of land that was damaged many, many years ago by oil and salt spill.